good to see you all here tonight. I love the Lord. You know, my husband was right. We were coming here tonight, and we were like, Lord, you really will use us this way? So thankful. Like, I said to my husband on the way down here, and I was talking with Tammy before service here, and I was just sharing with her, you know, people always do something. You're going to do something with your time. You're going to, you know, whether you're going to sit at home and watch TV, or you're going to go play sports, or you're going to go shopping, or you're going to go out to eat, you're going to do something with your time. Wouldn't you rather do something that's productive, something that's going to change your life and change things in this world and do something good with your time? I am just so thankful that I get to use my time for Him. And so we need to look at it that way. Oh, it's not a waste of time to serve God. No, it's a blessing. It's a privilege to serve God with our time. Well, hallelujah, I believe I have a word from heaven tonight. And I'll just tell you the title. You've got to say in order to see, and you've got to know to say. You got to say to see, and you've got to know to say. And so we're going to get into the Word of God here tonight. You can go ahead and open your Bible. It's going to be really hard to find. Genesis chapter 1. If you don't know, Genesis is the first book, the book of beginnings. I was joking there, right? We're going to start over in Genesis tonight. And I love that. You know, when I first read the Bible for the very first time in my 20s, I thought it's like any book that you've ever read. You open it up and you read from the beginning. And I thought I was going to understand it that way. Well, I didn't. And then I found out that, no, the Bible is meant to be read in all different areas, and you can go from this place to this place, and it's okay. But tonight, we are going to start at the beginning. You know, this afternoon, I was thinking about how much I like to shop online. Now, I'm not a bad steward with our money or anything like that, but when it comes to holiday time and Christmas shopping, I much prefer to go online and shop that way instead of going to the stores. I just like it. And, you know, one of the things that I do, and maybe some of you are like me in this, I'll go online and I'll have an idea of something that I want, and so I'll start searching for it. And I may see one that I really like, but I'm not quite sure about, so I'll add it to the cart. And then I may see a different one, and I'll add that to the cart. And then I go into the cart later on in my shopping excursion, and I decide, okay, which one am I keeping, and which one am I getting rid of? What do I really want here? But, you know, I do this on Amazon a lot. It never gets submitted. It never gets ordered until I press that button that says, okay, submit, I would like to order this. And then they even say, are you sure? You're going to confirm this? Do you really want it? And I was thinking about that in terms of the way Christians ought to be with God. You know, we think that just because we want something and it's on our wish list, that it automatically comes to us. But the truth is that we have a part to play in it. We've got to submit it, so to speak. We've got to put our order in. And so tonight we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about putting our order in with God, so to speak. And you'll see what I mean as we go ahead. Our faith is activated in a very similar way to online shopping. You're going to see that connection tonight. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 28. I know it's a lot of scripture, but the word is good. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who created it? God did. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. God said it, and there it was. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. God said, and it was so. Verse 8, and God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. God said it, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then, verse 11, Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. God said it, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Verse 14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. And we understand this. We're seeing how the whole earth is being created, the oceans and the lands and the moon and the sun, by God saying, and it was so. Amen. This is important here. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with abundance, an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So now God is speaking creation of animals, sea creatures, every animal, every sea creature and every bird by saying. People say, what? Just by saying? Yes, by saying. And God blessed them. Oh, this is good. Verse 22. This is where this whole sermon tonight came from, is this verse. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Now listen to this. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth, each according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Amen. And you say, why did you just make me listen to that whole passage of scripture? Everything God said, it was so. Everything. Everything he said, create this. Let there be oceans. Let there be the sun. Let there be the moon. Let there be the earth. Let there be all these things. Let there be every animal, every sea creature, every bird. He spoke it into existence. And we get to verse 22 and it says, and God blessed them saying, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters in the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. He spoke multiplication and abundance into the earth by speaking. Yep. He spoke provision into the earth by saying. Yep. And then we get down to verse 26. Then God said, he said, let us make man in our image. By saying, he created mankind in his image. He spoke that into existence. He spoke into existence our authority on this earth. Do you see how profound that is? Do you see how big of a deal that is? That every single thing you look at when you're driving in your car, when you're at home, anything you look at out the window, all these trees, all this grass, all these cows and goats and all this stuff and all these humans that God created them by saying. Amen. And then he said, and now you go do the same thing I did, and you have authority and likeness, and you're created just like me to be just like me on this earth and to have dominion. Do you understand how important and profound that is? But we ignore that part of these scriptures. Oh, yeah, God spoke the earth into existence. He spoke authority into our lives. He spoke that we would be created in his image and likeness. He wanted us to be like him. He wanted us to rule this earth, to have dominion. We're going to get into some things tonight. It is so important. You know, I need that. That's something I'm going to share later. You know, I was watching this YouTube video that popped up this week of this minister, and he was telling Christians that when pastors or ministers tell you that you actually can change your life by the words you say, they're lying to you. And I wanted to be like, can I call you on the phone and tell you all the scripture that talks about saying, that talks about the power of your words? That's not a lie. You're lying. You're deceiving people by not telling them that their words actually matter. We're going to have dominion, and we're going to see tonight that it's the same way that God had dominion and authority, and it's by words, that's where our dominion comes from. He spoke blessing into our lives through words. He spoke dominion into our lives through words, and he gave us the words of our mouth and the words of his mouth in order for us to walk in that dominion and that authority. We're going to get into some stuff. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 12. I love the word of God so much. I love the word. The word is so good, and it helps us. You know, if we are not somewhere that's teaching us to read the word, we got to get somewhere that teaches us to read the word. Yeah. And you're all here tonight, and we teach you, read the word for yourself. Please do not just take my word for it. You can believe me as I share scripture with you, of course. But I'm saying if the only time you ever hear the word of God is when we're in the pulpit, you got to get into the word for yourself. You've got to be a Christian on your own. Right? And you got to get into the word. It'll help you. My husband said this at announcement time. I wrote it down. He said, when you have it in you, it'll be ready to come out when you need it. Just like Malachi 3:10, it came out of him when somebody needed an answer. The word of God was in him. But if we're not getting the word of God in us, then it's not going to be ready to come out of us. Do you understand that? So that's why it's so important that you get the word in you. Proverbs 12:14. I love the word. Oh my goodness. I just love that the Lord lets me tell people his word. Because if it was just me, I'd have nothing to say. I mean, not much, right? I mean, had some stuff to say, but I don't know how much it would help you. But the word of God will change your life. Proverbs 12:14, it says, a man or woman, that's mankind, a man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. And the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. I have this written in my Bible. It says, the power of his word is shown. I didn't read that to you. I had this written in my Bible back in Genesis 1:22, and that's what started this whole message. It says, the power of his word is shown that he spoke in motion the ability for mankind to produce fruit. And I should have shared that with you before we turn here. He spoke into motion back in Genesis 1:22, and then again in 26 and 27. He spoke into motion the ability for man to produce fruit with his lips. And then you see here in this scripture I just read, Proverbs 12:14, a man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. See, God spoke it into motion that our mouths would produce fruit. And when we speak good things, we're satisfied with good fruit. You know that if you have a tree that has rotten fruit and you take a bite of the rotten fruit, it tastes bad. Yuck. Probably sour, more kind of vinegary. You ever tasted something rotten? Like, yuck. But if we have a good tree and we speak good things, then we're going to be satisfied. That fruit is going to taste good in our lives. Amen. Proverbs, let's go to the next chapter over, 13:2-3. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. Listen to this. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, that he who opens wide his mouth shall have destruction. You ever known the people who just like to talk a lot and say whatever? They're negative all the time. They're always complaining. Everything's always, oh, woe is me. Nothing ever is good. Blah, 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 blah. And they say a lot of words and their mouth is open wide a lot. But you notice people like that, their lives are always filled with destruction. Have you ever wondered why somebody who's always complaining about being sick is often sick? Is like the one who's always sick. You're like, how are you doing today? Oh, I've been sick again. I'm always sick. I always get this virus at this time of year. I'm probably going to die early. And then you wonder why later on in life they're suffering and they never seem to get past that illness. It's because the fruit of your mouth. You'll produce something with your lips. You'll either produce good fruit or you'll produce bad fruit. But it's your choice, because remember, God gave us that power and that authority. Go ahead and turn to Psalm 37. I love the word. We're just getting somewhere. We're just starting out here. The word of God. When we get into it, we're going to learn some things about our lives. We have responsibility, remember, as Christians. Psalm 37, we're going to read 29 through 31. Oh, I love the word. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. We could say this, the righteous shall inherit the promises of God. Remember when we are by faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God, that when we're doers of the word and not hearers only, we won't deceive ourselves, that we'll actually know the truth and the truth will set us free. Do you see how the word connects here? Yeah. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. It's talking about the land of promise. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. We wonder, God, why is it not working out for me? God, why am I waiting? Why does nothing ever seem to work for me? Well, we need to make sure that we're speaking right. And listen to 31, the law of his God is in his heart. When the law of God, meaning the word of God, the truth of God, when it's on the inside of us, like my husband said, it'll come out, right? When it's on the inside of us, then it's allowed to rule us. Because when we get it on the inside of us, that's where it is for safekeeping. And when we need it, that's where it comes from, the inside. When we're in the midst of a trial, when the devil is coming at us and we're under attack, it's very hard to get in the word and try to find, oh, you know, what am I looking for, right? If you need to buy something really fast, you're not going to spend 3 hours searching on Amazon to find the perfect color, right? You're going to need to know where to find it quickly. And see, when we get the word inside of us, it's going to be there quickly. And then none of his steps shall slide. That means you won't have missteps. You're going to walk in a better path, a clearer path, when you get the word on the inside of you. But notice that the word on the inside of us is connected to the way we speak. Do you see that? Word on the inside changes the way we think. When it sounds like his steps will not slide, that sounds like walking in that blessing and that authority and that dominion that God promised us way back in Genesis. Our steps shall not slide. We'll actually walk it out. We'll actually walk out the blessing that God has for our lives. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12 now. I love the word. I know you hear me say that so often, but it's so true. I mean, really, you should get used to it. Even if you don't love the Bible, which really you ought to, because it's your life. It is your manual for life. It's everything you've ever needed to know about yourself. Everything. And so, you know, you might learn to love reading the word more if you start speaking that you love the word. Get excited about it. I love the word. The word, there is nothing more pleasing to me than getting the word on the inside of me. I would rather get the word, and I'm saying you, speak this, confess this. If you struggle with sitting down and getting quiet before the Lord and reading the Bible, you struggle with that, maybe you're distracted by regular life, you're distracted by all the things you need to accomplish in the day, maybe you're distracted because you're tired and at the end of the day you just want to watch TV, whatever it is, start speaking. I love the word. I love to get the word in me. And as I open the Bible, I get revelation of it. God speaks to me. Just start telling yourself, start speaking that out. And really watch how it changes. You'll get excited about the word more than you ever have before. All right, Matthew 12, 34 through 35 or 37. This is red type in my Bible. This is Jesus speaking. brood of vipers. Jesus said that. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Remember, you can't speak it if you got the law of God. That means the word of God. That means the truth of God on the inside of you, in your heart. And notice that whatever is in your heart is what is going to come out of your mouth. That's what the Bible says. If you're evil, if what's in your heart is evil, you're not going to be able to speak good things. So let's stop putting evil inside of us. And you say, well, what is evil? People say, oh, you're a prude. You're picky. You're boring. You don't let your kids watch that. You wouldn't go to that movie because it has 75 F words. No, because that's evil. Putting evil on the inside of me. And that's not me just being. The word of God says that if you put evil on the inside of you, evil is going to come out of you. So if you put good things on the inside of you, good things are going to come out of you. If you being evil, how can you being evil speak good things? You can't. That's a question without an answer, but we should know the answer. You can't. Yeah. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart, everybody say the word, is good treasure. When we get it in our heart, we're going to speak, bring forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. See? The word is so clear. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. When we speak things out, we are activating the power of them in our lives. When we speak things out, if I start talking, my husband and I make it a practice not to say the word divorce. If we're in an argument, I don't say, I'm going to divorce you. Yeah, yeah. He doesn't say, we should just get divorced. You know why? Because we don't want to speak that into motion. We don't want to make, we don't have any intention of getting divorced, do we?
No.
So why would we talk that way? And listen, if you've thrown that word out there, don't condemn yourself. Yeah. But just understand after tonight, just understand that you actually put power behind that. You activate it when you say things like that because your words actually have power. Your words are like what God said. He made us in his likeness and image. So that means the words of our mouth actually have power. Remember, we produce fruit. We'll eat good by the fruit of our lips, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to share this testimony with you. My daughter, she's been being attacked in her body a little bit lately, some symptoms and things like that. And she just turned 10 years old, and she's been in church her whole life. She's been hearing the word of God all 10 years of her life, and even in the womb, right? So more than that even. And, she has a lot of family members that love her. Could I have my water? That love her, and they care about her, and they find out that she's got symptoms. Thank you. And they say, oh, poor baby, poor girl. And, she caught wind of somebody saying, poor girl. And she said, I'm not a poor girl. And I said, no, you are not. She said, yeah, why would they say that? I'm not a poor girl. And someone else said to her, your cough sounds bad. And she said, it's not my cough. What are you talking about? And so she's got this revelation from sitting under the word of God that I am not poor. Just because my body is being attacked doesn't make me a poor girl. And just because I'm coughing doesn't make that cough mine. And see, we could learn something from that. Why do we claim things as our own? Do you understand that what we say matters? What we say, listen, I am not calling that sickness mine. I'm not calling that lack mine. I'm not. If I have a need, my God said he will fill it. He said he will supply it. So I'm going to stick with that, and I'm going to say that. I'm not going to say, oh, I'm broke. Oh, I'm poor. Oh, I'm always living paycheck to paycheck. Oh, I don't ever have enough. Oh, we're never making it anywhere. We're always in the same place. We're never going forward. Am I really going to say that? I'll activate that in my life if I do. I need to take a sip of water. Fiji. Praise the Lord. You want to activate the right things. I'm not a poor girl. I'm a child of God. It's not my cough. I'm healthy. I'm whole. Proverbs 6:2. We're going back to Proverbs. Hallelujah. And I'm just delivering you the word of God as the Lord delivered it to me. This is the order God put it in, and I just stuck with it. I didn't go there and rearrange and say this sounded like it goes here and this sound. No, I let the Lord spill this out of me today, out of him, through me, amen. Proverbs 6:2. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. If you didn't hear the first time, he repeated himself. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You're trapped. You're trapped. You're caught by the words of your mouth. You're taken by the words of your mouth. Well, if you're the thief, the enemy doesn't come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's trying to steal the good things from your life. He's trying to snare you, and he's trying to take you where he wants you to be, take you out of the will of God, take you off the clear path. And he's going to do that by getting you to speak the wrong things. And so the mistake that a lot of Christians make, and that the church as a whole, the body of Christ, has made, is that we don't take the time to get the word in us so that we know and are aware of the devil's devices. And so then when the attack comes, like my daughter being attacked in her body, most people wouldn't say, oh, don't call me poor baby. They'd say, I know, isn't it bad? I'm tired. I know, isn't it bad that I feel this way? Don't you feel so sorry for me? She was like, why are they calling me a poor girl? Not a poor girl. I'm not snared by the words of my mouth. You're not trapping me into saying something stupid. You're not trapping me into getting myself in a worse position, letting the devil take from me. And see, do you understand that? You're snared. You're trapped. You're taken by the words of your mouth. I wrote this down. You want to get caught up in the devil's trap? Do you? Well, if you do, start speaking like God's not bigger. Start speaking like the problem is worse. You want to talk about how big your God is, not how big the problem is. God is bigger. I know that bill came. I know this seems unreasonable. You know, when we first bought our first home, it was my husband was sharing a little bit of our financial testimony. When we first got together, listen, I almost had my master's degree done. I was a straight A student. I worked super hard, worked since the time I was 16 years old and actually younger. I was always taught to go work and earn your keep in life, and I did that, and I worked hard, and I was doing pretty good as far as society was concerned, but we still couldn't have heat in our apartment. I still had a car that kept breaking down. We didn't have a stove to cook on. We didn't have money to buy groceries, and I've got, as far as the world's concerned, I'm pretty successful in life. I almost had my master's degree, you know. I had straight A's. I shouldn't have been living that way, you know, according to the world standards. But we were living that way. We didn't have anything. We were like rubbing, it's like, and what can we feed these kids tonight, you know? Which I love that they didn't realize it. That's another thing, parents. Don't tell your kids when you're financially struggling. Don't tell them. Don't let them worry about that. It's not theirs to carry. Yes, yours either. But they'll carry it because they worry about you and they love you and they'll see it in your life and they'll see if you're worried about it. So that's just a side note. I don't know why that came out, but praise the Lord. It's free, no charge, right? And so anyway, we were, I don't know where I was going with this. We were living that way. Oh, yeah. There were so many times when we first bought our house, our first house together, it was $28,000. And we were like, how can we ever pay for a $28,000 house? How can we do this? Like, how are we going to be able to afford that? We were going from an apartment that cost $175 a month, and we couldn't afford that, to a house that was now about $500 with taxes and everything, right? And we were like, oh my gosh, how are we going to do this? How is it going to happen? But we trusted God, and we moved forward with it. And actually, this family, Liz, John, and Hayden, wouldn't be in church if we hadn't bought that house. Hallelujah. God led us there. All those repairs and everything, they were worth it. Hallelujah. But then when we knew we were called to move to a new home, the area we knew we were called to move to was very expensive compared to where we lived. It was like some of the houses were two or three times the cost of the homes in Jamestown. And we were like, oh my gosh, how are we going to do this? You know, in your mind, you're like, how's that going to work out? Finances didn't change, you know, nobody was buying it for us, right? As far as we knew, you got to go do it, right? And so we knew we needed to move into this new home. We knew it was what God had for us, but in natural circumstances, it did not line up. And you wanted to say, I'm never going to be able to do it. We were even thinking, and we probably even spouted off at the mouth a few times, we're never going to be able to go out to dinner ever again because we're not going to be able to afford that. We're never going to be able to have this or this or this. We're going to be house broke. You know, the thoughts that humans deal with, right? When things seem way bigger than we can naturally handle. See, God, I love this. God doesn't mind, we've been told this, doesn't mind bringing you out on a limb that only he can bring you back from. Faith is about trusting God when you don't see it. It's not about having everything lined up and spelled out perfectly and then you trust God. No, that's not faith. That's not real faith. Faith is activated when the natural says no, but supernaturally God can make a way. Amen? And we trust him to do that. So if we would have said, oh, no, we just can't, and we would have just kept, just speak, no, no, no. You know, I think I maybe had a moment of trying to speak bad and my husband said, it's either ours or it's not. Or we either believe it or we don't. Yeah. And then there were times where he was like, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And I was like, it's ours, remember. That's where it's good when you balance each other out, husband and wife, or you've got somebody who has like precious faith to stir you up. But when we finally decided, let's just be great about it. Yeah. Let's just be right about this. Yeah. See, remember, God doesn't expect perfection, but he expects us to try. Let's just be right about it. Let's speak right about it, and it's going to come to pass. And you know that the bills have been paid every time. We don't worry about it. We didn't get a raise. In fact, I make less money than I did last year, or before we bought the house, actually. And so we didn't get some natural raise that covered all the... No, we just did it by faith, and God has provided every single time. And that wasn't really in my notes, but praise the Lord. It'll help somebody. You have to use your words wisely is what I'm trying to say. You use your words wisely. God's power has always been demonstrated by his word. Why do you think in the very beginning of this eternal word that he left us with, he kept telling us again and again and again, he said, and it was so. He didn't have to say that. He could have said, and I said, let me have oceans, let me have lands, let me have skies, let me have this, let me have the cattle, and it was so. No, he said it again and again. God said, and it was so. 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 And by the way, I made you in my image and likeness. And I said, go have dominion. And I see that dominion is good. God said, and it was so. Do you understand that? See, we could casually read over scripture and get bored by that repetitive, God said, and it was so. We could get very bored by that. Or we could take it as, hey, he's trying to show us something. Say it, say it, say it. Let it be so. Hallelujah. Psalm 17:4. I love the word. Every time I change scriptures, I'm like, oh, yeah, I love that one. I love that word. Psalm 17:4. Oh, I love it. Let's see. Concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer. By the word of your lips, I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer. By the word of God, that came from God. Do you know God spoke this word to men? To write, men didn't write this Bible. God gave it to men. God spoke this word into existence. He used men to write this, right? But he spoke it in. It's the words of God's lips himself. And it says here, by the word of your lips, of God's lips, that's a capital Y, by the word of your lips, I have kept away from the path of the destroyer, the paths of the destroyer. We take authority over the enemy by speaking the word of God. So you say, well, how do I have authority? How do I use my authority? You take the word of God, remember, get it on the inside of you, and you start saying it. When the symptoms come at your body, you find the word, you go on there and you shop for the right scriptures, and you submit them. You start speaking them out loud. That's what I was talking about. You went on Amazon, you found what you needed, and then you said, okay, add to cart, and then submit my order. When you want to get an arsenal, a wish list, a cart built up with all the scriptures you need for life, you don't need to memorize the whole book, but get scriptures. You know, we were taught that a good rule of thumb is to have at least three scriptures for every area of life that you might have to deal with a trial in. For your finances, for your health, for your peace, for your strength, whatever it is that you go through, for your marriage, for your children, whatever it is, you get into the Word of God and you find it at least three. I have in my iPad, I have a Word document that has, it's called my threes assignment. Mm-hmm. And I've got three scriptures for all these different topics. And you know why? Because I need to have an arsenal. I need to be able to get to the cart and submit the order really quickly. If I need it, I need it. I don't need it next week. That's why we get Prime. When we're Christians and we've been taught the right word of God, we got Amazon Prime, but we've got it with God, and it comes even faster. We got it. We submit the order to God. And I'm not saying we rule over God. Don't take my words and twist them. What I'm saying is God wants us to speak his words. He says right here that by the word of your lips, to God's lips, I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer. All the trial and all the thing and the snare that the enemy wanted to get me, I kept away by speaking the word of God. Let's go to the book of James. Are you seeing this tonight? The importance of our words? I don't know, you know, I never heard any of this until I was in a Bible teaching church. Because any Christian I ever knew, they weren't speaking like they had authority. They were speaking like they were broken down all the time. Why are Christians talking like they're broken down all the time? Like they're defeated in life. Either God is big or he's not. Right. And if God isn't big, then why do you serve him? Yeah. If you can't get, if God doesn't change your life and actually make good things happen in your life and help you to get the good things, then why? Hallelujah. James 3:2, and we're going to read through verse 12. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. See, you don't have to be perfect. You're going to stumble. You're going to say stupid things sometimes. You are. You're going to yell at somebody that you shouldn't have yelled at. You're going to speak doubt and unbelief at some point. You're going to. If you don't, you're a perfect man. And we know the only perfect man was Jesus. Able also, if you do not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Simple bit in a mouth will turn a whole body. Look at also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. Genesis, we read that. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of men of God. Remember? Made in the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? See, the tongue is so powerful, and it says that if you can always guard that tongue and have it perfectly tamed, then you're a perfect man, and that hasn't happened yet. But the point of these scriptures is to let us know that just like a little rudder will steer a great ship, our tongue will steer us into whatever direction we choose. You know, the scripture says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it, they'll eat the fruit of it, right? If we love life, we're going to speak life because we're going to steer that ship in the right direction. And it says that a huge forest fire will be kindled by a little spark, and that's the same way the tongue is. The tongue will set in motion things whether we like it or not. Yeah. You may have spouted off at the mouth, you sent those sparks flying, and then later on you're seeing destruction in that area, and you're like, why did I see that destruction? Well, now you know. You may have not known before, but now you know that destruction will come if you don't steer that ship the right way. See that? It's so important. The word tells us truth, and it's easy for us to understand. That's not hard to understand, is it? Those are clear scriptures. You're on the same page, probably. James 4:2. You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you ask, or yet you do not have because you do not ask. Men are always striving to get the dominion, to get the authority, to get the upper hand, always striving. Yet all we need to do is start speaking. Do you understand that? That's what that scripture is saying. You murder, you covet, you can't obtain, you lust after it, you don't have, you fight, you war for it. But all you needed to do was ask. All you needed to do was go to God and submit that order. All you needed to go to God was to do was go to God and say, I know the authority that you gave me. I know how you made me. I know that you made me in your image and likeness. I know that my words or your word in my mouth actually has power. I know that I have the upper hand. I didn't have to fight for it. I'm not sweating over it. I didn't get bloody or bruised for it. I just spoke it. Yeah. Amen? That's what that scripture is telling us. You just speak it out. But we must ask and ask according to his word. We can't just ask for things that aren't in his word. You can't just make stuff up that God didn't promise you and then try to pretend he did. You need to find out what your promises are, and they're good, and they cover everything you ever need in life, by the way. But you need to find out what they are, and you need to ask according to the word. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to get through this, and I'm doing good on time, I think, here. We're getting through this. Matthew 8, it is a good word because it's the Bible. And it's God's word. And I'm just feeling myself getting stronger just by speaking it all tonight. That's why you go home and you speak it. Oh, this is about Jesus dealing with a centurion and his servant. You may have heard this story before. Matthew 8:5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Now, the centurion didn't mean, I'm not worthy to be near you, Jesus. What he meant was, I don't need you to take time away from what you need to do, Lord. I just need you to speak the word, and it'll be so. He had revelation. But listen to this. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And the centurion said, I know that you'll heal him. I believe you at your word, right? So speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also, says the centurion, I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. So the centurion listened to Jesus. He believed him at his word, and then he spoke something that indicated his faith, didn't he? He said, you just say the word, and I believe it. Why don't Christians do that? You said the word, and I believe it. You don't need to come here and stand in man form again for me to believe you. You said the word. I take you at it. I believe it. And when I say it, I mean it. I mean that I believe it. I don't just sit over here doing some scared prayers. Oh, I hope you heal me. Oh, I hope you heal me. Oh, I hope God gets us through this. Oh, yes, the word said it'll get us through it. So I hope that he comes through. No, we say, my God said he shall supply. My God said he shall supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. I don't have to worry about how my mortgage is getting paid.
Right,
it is getting paid because he said it's getting paid. He said he supplies the work. He supplies your path. If you're in his will and in his path, he takes care of you. If you're in his will and in his path, then healing is yours. It already belongs to you. Like Ezra said, not my cough. What are you talking about? Stop calling it mine. Mine is healing. Mine is what my God said he gave me. Mine is what his word said. Mine is that. And so Christians need to get a hold of that. I have not seen such great faith in Israel because you spoke it. You said all you have to do is say it. I believe it. Man, we need to learn from that. We need to learn from that. If you won't ask the Father, you can't get mad when it doesn't show up. Just like on Amazon, if you don't press submit, you can't get mad when it didn't come in the mail. So if you don't go to God and you don't ask for what you need, you can't get mad when it doesn't come. right? And even more than this, if you never search for what you need on Amazon, you never know what's available. And if you never search for what you need in Scripture, you don't know what's available. And so you can't get mad when you didn't know about something and it's not yours. You got to search for what you need, and you got to put it in your cart, and you got to submit that. You got to use your mouth to make that come to pass. You got to use the authority through your lips, right? If you don't search the Scripture, you can't blame God when you don't have it. You know, I heard this other misinformed minister. When I'm working out, sometimes I'll listen to some ministers on YouTube, and sometimes it'll go over into, like, the next video, and I'll hear it, and I'll like, oh, okay, what's this all about? And so that happened to me this week, and I'm listening, and I'm like, this proclaimed minister of the gospel said, if a church tells you that God wants you healed and wants you prosperous, they're lying to you. I was like, what? Can I call him up and tell him what the word says? No, if a church doesn't tell you that your healing and your provision already belong to you, they're lying to you. Or you're like, are you just saying name it and claim it, Pastor Renee? You just say whatever you want and it comes? I'm not just saying that. Don't go over to the Dodge dealership and start saying, this truck is mine, and this truck is mine in Jesus' name, this truck is mine. No, no, no. But if the word says it, yes, you claim it. It is yours. You name and you claim the word. It belongs to you as a Christian. So yes, name and claim the word of God and it will come to you. Hallelujah. Let's look at Mark 11. Mark 11. And we don't have too many more scriptures to go to tonight. I hope you're getting this tonight. Mark 11. We'll start in verse 12 here. And you're probably familiar with this passage of scripture. But you know, you never can hear the word too much. Yeah. Never can hear it too much. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Mark 11. Oh, man, good stuff. So Jesus, this is a testimony of Jesus. Now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry, Jesus. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And we know from teaching before that it doesn't mean it wasn't supposed to have figs. If there's leaves on the fig tree, figs should have been there. Yeah. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it because he actually spoke it. And that's a good point there. You know, when Jesus wanted something to happen, he actually spoke it out loud. Yeah. He didn't just go in the bathroom and think it in his head. Yeah. He spoke it. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and sold seats of those who sold doves. He was like, you're not perverting the house of God. He would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves? And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening had come, he went out of the city. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. He was like shocked. Yeah. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Notice that your faith is attached to what we're reading next. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I wrote this down. Principles you need to understand from these scriptures. Number one, you've got to have a desire. You've got to have a wish list. You've got to actually want something from God. If you're like, oh, life is good, I don't need anything from God, well, then you're never going to be able to use faith, and you're not pleasing God. God wants us to want from him. God wants us to look at him as Father and say, God, help me with this. He wants that. We need to have a desire. Just like when I go online shopping, I get my wish list. What do I want, right? Number two, you must pray about that desire. You must speak it out. And then you must believe that you receive it And when you're praying, you believe that you receive it. And then the final part is, if you said it, you had the desire, you said it, you believed it, you'll have it. You submitted the order and it's coming to you. But it all starts with whether or not we take God at his word and we'll believe him at it and we'll speak it out of our own mouths. It matters. I'm going to try to end in this set of scriptures. Hallelujah. Let me just read this to you. Romans 4:16-17. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him who believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. There's a principle here. If you are a child of God and you're a doer of the word, yes, you can call things that do not exist in the natural as though they did. You're not creating some new kind of tree by speaking it. Not saying that. But if it naturally, like I said, doesn't look like it's going on, doesn't look like you need a new job, naturally you're like, there's nothing out there for me. I'm not going to find a job that pays me better, that the hours work for me, that helps me, that I can do. It's not going to happen. Naturally speaking, there's nothing there. You need a new job. You start confessing. New job comes in Jesus' name. Mark was an example of that. He worked job after job after job that was bad, was hard on him, that was not a good environment to be in, and he didn't want to be in it anymore, but he just started believing and confessing that the new job came. He wasn't jumping from job. He was secure. No, I'm talking for years, okay? And they were at construction jobs, and he would take increase as it came, but it wasn't the kind of increase he needed, and it wasn't the kind of blessed plan that God actually had for him and a good place for him to be. He's in a job now that is a blessing to his life. He's surrounded by other Christians. He's in a clean environment, a wholesome environment. He's in a good place, getting paid more, all that stuff. But it didn't come just by waiting around and not believing for it, not confessing it. It came because he spoke it and created things that be not as though they were. Right? That's how mankind creates things. We're going to end in Romans 10. We're going to end in Romans 10. I know I went a little longer tonight, but that's okay. Romans 10. If we get bored by the word of God, well, we got a problem. We got to work that out of us. And you can't get bored by me because I'm just telling you the word. Amen. Romans 10, 8 through 17, and we're going to end in these scriptures. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you get saved, with your mouth and believing. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Notice calling is with our mouth. How then shall they call on him? This is important. Whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. For they have not all obeyed the gospel. Not every pastor, not every church is teaching the truth. Not everybody who speaks is speaking the truth. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Remember, you can't see unless you say, and you won't say unless you know. And you won't know unless somebody tells you. And so that's why it's so important where you come to church. It's so important what you're hearing. It's so important what you put into you. Oh, what did I write here? it's just salvation and the faith is just waiting to be brought out on our lips. That's what I have in my notes in my Bible. It's just waiting to be brought out. Yeah. The faith, it's there. Yeah. It's ready. Yeah. It's easy. It's right there. It's near to your lips. It's just waiting to be brought out. And how can it be brought out unless it's inside, right? You don't bring something out unless it's already in. And so we want to get it in us. We want to get it out of us. And we first, it starts by hearing the Word of God. I wrote this down. What we hear is what we'll be convinced of. Faith is true conviction, full assurance, full reliance. And faith comes by hearing. And so what we get in is what we have faith in. So that's why our society has run rampant, and the moral standards of our society have, in the last couple decades, have just, whoa. And why is that the case? You wonder where, what happened? What happened is people were hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the wrong things. And that's what started to come out of them. And that's what they started to speak into motion. See, this principle doesn't just apply to Christians. It applies to mankind. So as mankind speaks things out, we see the results of it. So as we speak, you know, this lack of moral standards and this destruction of, you know, the marriage covenant in society, or destruction of authority, and all these things that are going on in the media, as we see that, as we see it feeding people, that's what their faith is in. So we have to combat that. We have to fight the good fight by getting the Word into people.
Right.
Get that in us instead. Let's just get that on the inside. Let's feed people that. Hear it. Then it's in here, and it can be brought out. Amen? So your job, you go home, you get in the Word. When the mouth, faith comes in through the ears, faith settles in the heart, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When the mouth speaks, mountains move or mountains get built. It's up to you. Let's be people with faith to move mountains. Right? Let's walk out the plan he has for us. Amen.